Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Financing Your Business Today. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, our topic is how to start a nonprofit organization. I had to change topics today, unfortunately. Our guest had a conflict, and that show is going to be rescheduled on February 14th regarding how to manage your reputation of your business and how to fix it. So again, that show is going to be at noon next Tuesday, but at the last minute, I'm going to come with the topic of how to start or become a nonprofit organization. And it's really, really simple. To start a nonprofit organization is really in three steps: your purpose, your steps, and your plan. In order to get started with this, a nonprofit organization brings in billions of dollars a year in this economy. And some of the top organizations out there, the top 10 is United Way, the Salvation Army, Feed Your Children, the American Cancer Society, Gifts in Kind, American Cares, also American Red Cross, Catholic Charities, Second in Arms. And if you go to Forbes, there's a whole list of top nonprofit organizations like the Mayo Foundation, Mayo Clinic, is nonprofit, and it goes on and on. Salvation Army, Goodwill Industries, and so forth. So I'm going to talk about the three steps you need in order to start a nonprofit organization. Real simple. You must start with a purpose. You can't have an organization without a purpose or a mission or a way to have a ministry in so many words. So again, you got to have a purpose for this ministry. Your purpose, your mission for your nonprofit, and you have to sell it to people. So again, you must start off with a purpose or a mission. Why are you doing it? What are you doing it? And so forth. And when you want to go into your mission statement, describe overall the purpose of your organization. Why does this organization exist? Then you want to talk about a statement, your formats, why you're doing it. You want to do a brief mission statement. You want to talk about the clients you serve and any other information to put a mission statement together and put an outline together. Who are the people you want to be serving? Is your organization going to address a public need? What are your fiscal groups? What are your Jumpstart groups? How are you going to be who you are? And that's really the first step. And once you get that decided, you put all this information together, and you come up with a mission statement, you come with a vision for your organization, a five-year plan, and so forth. Now, if we go by step, let's move on to number two, the steps of becoming a nonprofit organization. And I'm going to go over the step-by-step what you need to do. First of all, I'm going to use, for example, Texas. To start a nonprofit corporation, which you want to be, you just go to your Secretary of State, you pull out the forms. It's real simple. Just fill them out, type them. I would say type them, then print them so they can be clear. And just keep it basic, and then make the correction in the future. You can also go to SCORE, and that will help you. Your local SCORE office of the SBA will help you as well. But information about your nonprofit organization, they will help you on. But get a copy of the articles from your Secretary of State, fill it in, and file it. Texas is $25, and now you're a legal company, organization. Next thing you want to do is get your employer identification number from the IRS. You can call to get that number, or you can apply for it online. Just go to irs.gov and click where it says nonprofit businesses, the organizations. Essential that you really want to go and apply for your exemption status from the IRS, so all the donations that's made to your organization would be tax deductible. That's one thing, and also it gives you credibility. Now, it takes a little bit longer to get your certification back from the IRS. Maybe it can take anywhere from 45 days to 90 days to complete. If it's thorough, keep it simple. If it's thorough and complete, then it won't ask you for additional information. And they might come back in 30 days, ask you to clarify something. But if so, once you clarify it, send it in right away, and they will get your exemptions. I've done it several times. It's not really hard at all. There is a fee. Usually it's $150 or $200, and that pays for the processing of your organization. Next thing you want to do is get a telephone line. You want to get a bank account, free checking, of course, as a nonprofit organization. You want to have two people sign on the account. So if you are not available, someone else can sign for checks as well. Also, I would say get a GoDaddy account. It's only $5 account. Get a website tonight. Buy your domain and buy your website. So this will be easy for people from the outside looking at your company to find out who you're about and see if you're a really credible business. Today, everything is internet-driven. The IRS, when they look up your company, this will help them make the determination quicker. They might not have any questions. They might even have the questions already answered on the website and pass your application on. You can publish everything in WordPress, or you can do a website tonight. It doesn't matter. Just look into those. I would say you can create your own stationery and get business cards. Now, Vista.com, you pay the shipping, they will print your a template-based stationery. I would say go for it. Get business cards, because it's really embarrassing when you tell a person about your company and say, well, how can I contact you? You don't have a business card. So it looks unprofessional. So if you're going to do this, be professional about it. So, yes, go get some business cards and pay the cost of it. And, our tab up at this point, maybe $10 to $15 for your stationery and your business cards. Also, you want to register in Dun & Bradstreet as a nonprofit organization, again, to give you more credibility. Also, you want to go to CCR. In order for you to get a government grant or a service contract with the government, you need to register at CCR.gov. Again, at CCR.gov. Again, it's giving you additional credibility. But also, if you want to bid on a government contract, there are a lot of contracts for prisons, for missions. So, if you go to CCR.gov, you can fill that out. But you're going to need your Dun & Bradstreet number first. So, it stands for Central Contractors Registration. But you have to be registered there as well in order to get a government grant. The next step you want to do, you want to actually set up a way that people can pay you. I would say go to PayPal, set up an account with PayPal and then Google for payments, electronic payments. I would say, in the future, you might want to get a merchant account. But if you have PayPal or Google, all they have to do is just put their information in. You put the credit card information in, or to check in and then process it, and then go to your account. Also, you want to connect yourself on LinkedIn as a professional organization. Make some videos. Get your Twitter and a Facebook account. Again, we're in 2012, so these things add you credibility. If you're in a state, some states ask you to register with the controller. Texas, they want you to register as a tax exempt organization, but you can get the form. This form is free that you can be tax exempt from those. But you really just want to register. It really doesn't cost you anything to do it. And if you need a resale certificate, they will take care of that as well. Just go to the controller's office, and they will set you up. And that's for Texas is window.texas.tx.us, and just go to the controller's office. Also, you want to register for your Buzz account. Your Buzz account will connect all your social media and also your directories that's out there, and you can keep tabs on it, and you can make one comment, and it'll post it to all those sites. Again, you might want to take a lot of pictures of the things that your organization does. You want to make videos. You want to write a blog on your website to give people status so they can be connected to the organization. If you set up a board, I would say get a credible board. Look for a CPA, look for an attorney, look for someone else that's experienced in a nonprofit organization. Look for a religious leader. Look for teachers, doctor, or engineers. Doctors have deep pockets. They might give you, hey, I have $500 I can give you for this. They trust you. Engineers and teachers are really structured. So if you want to give them a project, they will get something done for you. Say, hey, I need this document of 5 pages of this, whatever. A teacher will get that done because they have in their mind as a structure. They're real structured people. And they know their whole environment is set on timeline. So they will get that done for you. Get an English teacher because the English teacher will make sure everything is grammatically correct as well. Also get a business leader. And again, these things are not really difficult. I mean, since yes, they're hard to get, sometimes they're really not. But just take your time, pace it out, and invite these people to be part of your board. Back to your tax-exempt, the 501c3 organization. I'm going to talk about that next. Your 501, you can be as an organization on that 501c3. Again, that shows you as a legitimate organization, and is also what they give to you is tax-deductible. So you can be a charitable organization, religious under charitable, education under charitable. You can be scientific, you can be literary, you can be testing for public safety, you can be a forest in national, international amateur sports competition, you can be a prevention of cruelty to children or animals, charitable, so forth, you know. But I'm going to talk about education. You can be a school, and you can have that exemption status for that as well. So, you know, if you want to do your day clinic and you want to convert into a school, which I advise you to do, I would say make sure you can become Montessori certified, so it gives you more credibility as well. And you can draw a salary out of that to take care of your personal needs if you're going to dedicate your time for that. Also, there's social welfare organizations, civic clubs, there's community organizations. Also under that, you have another category is labor, agricultural organizations, labor unions, councils, committees. You have farm bureaus, you have agriculture, horticultural organizations, you have social clubs, hobbies, you have country clubs, you have business leagues, trade organizations. You can have your chamber of commerce, you can have a little state board, you can have a professional organization, fraternities, veterans organizations, employee associations, political organizations, anything really. That's everything is on that form, and you just check out and you just be real strategic how you put that information on there and keep it simple. You're not going long phrases. Just make sure that it's real plain and simple, and you give a direct answer to that question. If you have a CPA on your board, a CPA is going to take care of your finances. Attorney is going to take care of your legal. If you have a back to the board, if you have a another nonprofit organization, they'll be there to help you with other issues that comes up with a nonprofit organization. Again, there is state organizations that you need to register with. Again, that makes you more credible. So just keep that in mind as well. And also it puts you in a position of getting grants in the future as well. Let's move on to the next step of the exemption. I'm going to dive in a little deeper regarding the 501c3 tax exempt organizations. What I just mentioned, all of those organizations will qualify as a 501c3. Charitable, education, religious, of course. Looking at a form that the IRS gives you, your responsibilities, you need to file keep your record keeping. You need to keep your files complete with your annual filings. You're going to file a 990 every single year. Regardless if you make nothing, just put on the return, you made zero. So you're required to file, but if you don't file after 3 years, the fourth year, they will pull your exemption status, so you will no longer be tax exempt. You can also have electronic notices of these as well. So again, let's keep your filings up and make sure you have complete documentation. If you have any employees, again, your bookkeeper will help you with that. I would say get a CPA. That'll make sure that if you need to do payroll or something like that, that it is done like it needs to be done, so you don't have any headaches with unemployment or any other tax issues. So, again, I'm going to put this on the website, these forms, and what those steps I mentioned earlier. The other part of having that business is strategic planning. And when I talked about that board, those people you need to really have on your board. You need to have your vision. You need to have the people. So if I make a circle, mission is here, your strengths and weaknesses are here, and your opportunities or threats are here. So when you put your strategic plan together, you want to put your mission statement and have everything focused to your mission. And also, if you have any strengths and weaknesses, you want to also indicate those. If you have any threats and opportunities, you want to identify those together. 10 heads is better than 1 head, and it's less stressful. Again, you take a piece of a pie, they will fill in the gaps for you. There's a neat little strategic book, workbook for nonprofits by Byron Berry, I recall, and it has a little workshops that you can do and forms that's been completed that you can complete. I can't remember who the publisher is, but I know that I've used in the past. It's by Byron W. Berry, and it's called Strategic Planning Workbook. It has a CD with it. The publisher is St. Paul's, out of St. Paul's, Minnesota. I think it's like St. Paul's publication. And they will actually do step-by-step what you need to put a strategic plan together. Now, I would say get this book before you invite people. Invite them into an initial meeting and talk about your plan and your vision and how you're going to do that. But before you do that, you want to make sure, hey, I have filed my articles of incorporation. I have filed my employer identification number. I have done all these other things like I filled out the form for my 501c3. I have a DUNS number. I have a website. I have a checking account. I have a telephone line. I have a Google Pay account or a PayPal account. I have a LinkedIn profile. I have a Twitter profile. I have a Facebook profile. I also register with the state. I also have a YourBuzz account, and I have an advisor at SCORE. Now, SCORE can kind of lead you with all this information, but if you have all the information together like that, you have a clear purpose and vision, you won't have a problem of having some people to help you for a whole year. Say, hey, yes, I can join your board for a year and see what it's like, or help you within the 6-month period. Say, don't commit for a year. Just help me for the first 6 months to get things organized. I will deal with the public, dealing with fundraisers and so forth. I just need someone to help advise me. You can be on the advisory board for me. And let them commit themselves. Let them be vocal. And let them volunteer to do things. Let them do things. And if they have input, they will take responsibility of it. That's how you recruit a board of directors. And you're going to be the chief executive, or you're going to be the chief director or executive director. Also, I would say, Get a generic plan of your bylaws. You really need to have that before you invite these people in. And you can always amend it, but there's generic bylaws you get off the internet. SCORE has some for you as well. But have that in place before you invite. And then give this information, highlights of this information to a person that you're looking to be on your board of directors. You might not want to get a person that's extremely busy to be on your board of directors. You want someone that's not so busy. Some people don't commit to anything. Some people work and go home. Some people have families. So try to keep the person that, you know, their family, they don't have small kids. They don't have a demanding family. They're in the next stage of life, or they're single, and or they're in a middle age group. Their kids are in high school, about to graduate, or gone, and they have that time to do that. And those are the best people you want. You don't want a busy pastor on your board because he won't ever have time to come to your meetings. You want them to come to a meeting and contribute. You want to elect a president. You want to elect a vice president, a secretary, and the treasurer. And I would say seven people. Again, people that you can trust because they can't throw you off off the organization that you started. Also, they make sure that they will keep the necessary filings that you need for the local and state government. So I really hate, one thing I was told when I started this broadcast, don't cancel a show. So I'm not canceling a show, but I'm giving you some really good information. And we have a lot of people actually downloading these shows off of iTunes and they're listening. So again, to start back from the very beginning, step by step, start with a vision, a purpose of an organization you want. Then do your articles of incorporation. File next for your employer identification number. Register with Dun & Bradstreet. Next step you want to do is start on your formation of your 501c3. You want to register with the state under the tax office so you can get the tax exemption or be recognized by the state. You want to have a landline before you do that. You want to have a bank account. You want to have a domain website. You want to have business cards and letterheads. You want to have an outline of a business plan or capability statement or a plan of action for your business. You want to have a PayPal account. You want to have a Google account. You want to have a Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. You want to post, take plenty of pictures of everything you do. You also want to look at YouTube, take videos of events that you have. You want to pull all these things together on yourbiz.com. Your biz will pull all of these activities together. Your Twitter account, your LinkedIn account, all of them, your social media accounts together into one profile. And you just can type one message and then post to all those sites. And also, it will keep tabs on if you have a listing out of the local directories like Southwestern Bell, Bell Pacific, local.com. Any local directories will have that information tied into it. So you can keep that all under the same umbrella. You want to keep good documentations of everything you do. So kind of keep that in mind as well. So anyway, this is how to start a nonprofit organization. And I will post some of this stuff on the blog, Apple Capital Group. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. Give me a call. You can call me at 214-224-0995. And probably within the next 20 minutes, I'll post all the information about how to start your nonprofit organization. Keep in mind that you want to keep complete documentation of everything you do. It is a legal entity. And again, if someone donates money to you, kind of keep in mind that if you misappropriate that money, you could go to jail. So you don't want to do that. So nonprofits are wonderful to have. Just a footnote, when I was in college almost 20 years ago, there is an organization called HOPE in Wichita, Kansas. And believe it or not, Gene started this community organization, and she wanted to help people economically in her neighborhood. She had that passion. She sold it. And believe it or not, within a year of forming that organization, a person donated an apartment complex to her because they believed in her. And she had this this apartment complex for 20 years. People will give you things, but she did these steps. She had all these filings done. She had her paperwork. So you walk into her office, she had everything lined out. She had a bank account. She had bank statements. Hey, if they ask you for something, I have it right here. Here's my bank statement. I take a small salary. I'm not taking all the money from our company. Here's my tax exempt form. Here's my state registration. Here's my registration to here. We have a telephone line. They didn't have a website during those days, but she kept complete documentation of everything she did, and they gave her an apartment building for that nonprofit. So, and one thing you want to keep in mind, if you don't want a nonprofit, let someone else run it, but you can't not let it go. You have to, by law, give it to another nonprofit organization. If not, you can be held liable for it, and you could go to jail if they come back at you and think you misappropriated somebody's money. So, again, that's the show today. Sorry about this. Now, reputation management will be on February 14th at noon, and they'll talk about how to repair negative information on Google or Bing, Yahoo, about your company. So, again, that would be noon on February 14th. We won't have a show tomorrow. I'll be in Atlanta interviewing some flight attendants and doing a story on safety, and I will post that the next day. On if you look on Friday, I think we have a show that's scheduled as well. But to wrap everything up today, I will have everything posted on the website for you, and you can go step by step to start your nonprofit business. Then again, this is another production of the Apple Capital Group. More information, you can check out our website at blog.applecapitalgroup.com, or you can email at info@applecapitalgroup.com. And again, thank you for joining the program today, and have a great, happy Tuesday. Thank you for listening. Take care. This has been another production of Apple Capital Group, financing your business. Take care and have a great day. Thank you.